Well, we've come to our final service for today, and I'm kind of regretting that the day is over. I've enjoyed Brother Peter so much today. Earlier, he spoke about this land, and now we're going to have his comments and remarks about the title, Be Ye Separate, Be Ye Separate. So this time, Brother Peter is going to take over and screen share, and we're looking forward to a blessing from Brother Peter.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, Brother Jeff. Well, greetings again. As announced, the topic for this lesson is Be Ye Separate. And again, I bring the love and greetings of the North Seattle Bible students to you. For this lesson, we want to take a look in the mirror. This lesson is a self-examination lesson with the emphasis on self. We should only be looking at ourselves, not others. What do we want to see when we look into the mirror? Is it our heart's desire that we grow in Christ's likeness and be faithful to our covenant unto death? If so, what are we doing each day to help make that happen? Are we practicing humility and holiness? Are we relying on the Lord for his grace to help in time of need? The pastor states that those following the narrow way will find themselves opposed by moralists, liberalists, and higher critics, as we will read later in the September 15th manna. We have seen the world go mad. We should realize that without the truth, we would be like the world. In these perilous times, we have seen much of the world progress from communism to socialism to nihilism. Most believe that there is no absolute right and wrong. We have seen race used for political gain, the pitting of the haves versus the have-nots against each other, taking by force what has been earned by others. Real versus fancied rights, the information age becoming the disinformation age, increasing use of slander. Lifespans are increasing while violence is increasing. Rudeness, discourtesy, lack of taking personal responsibility, hate increasing and love decreasing. Causes of little to no value. All these things are evidence of the fulfillment of God's plan. Where will it end? So what should be the effect upon us? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 from the Weymouth, and let us bestow thought on one another with a view to arousing one another to brotherly love and right conduct. The thought here is to incite each other to righteousness, in opposition to the world. This is brotherly love. What can we learn from a biblical account of the time we live in? We'd like to consider 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. We are to resist the temptations of the world, in the world, but not of it. This is easy to say, but very difficult to carry out. We need to be the opposite of these descriptions of the world. So we will consider the items listed in these scriptures. Also, we are to remember that there are a lot of good people in the world, and that it is not their time to practice righteousness, but ours. Let's consider lovers of their own selves, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. This is self-satisfaction. They use people and love things, basically being selfish. The opposite is to be self-sacrificing, laying down our lives in sacrifice, being selfless and loving God's ways. Covetousness. Lovers of money or what others have. While we are not to neglect providing a reasonable living for those under our care, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, to contrast, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. An all-consuming desire for money is the problem. This greediness is a type of false worship, that is, idolatry. Let your moderation, your reasonableness, be known to all. Many are the boasters and proud in this world. We must be humble-minded in all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, for who maketh thee the giver from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Blasphemy has the meaning of abusive or evil speaking. The world in general discredits God, while we give credit to God for all. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Disobedient to parents. This is true of older so-called adults as well. Not of the same mind. A disrespect for any authority. Absence of traditional family. Government seeking to discredit the need and strength of the family unit and the responsibilities of that unit. Instead, the government puts the emphasis on, it takes a village. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This was part of the law. It is absent in this world for the most part. The early years are the best for training a child. There should be respect, obedience, and love. Unthankful, unholy, unkind. What an abundance of this we see in the world. Such a difference from in everything, give thanks. Truth breakers and false accusers are common in the world today. We should never have a part in these things. We should keep our consecration promise and never bear false witness against another. Incontinent means without self-control. The world likes instant, quick gratification. Impatience is not a good characteristic. Easy monetary credit feeds into this lack of control. For us, let our reasonableness be known through the spirit of a sound mind, practicing self-control and keeping ourselves well in hand for the master's use. Fierce. despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. The world has false conceptions of liberties and rights. They lack training in humility under prosperity. True liberty is to be in accord with God. The world thinks sin is liberty. Lovers of pleasure, we see this all around us. This is the reason that the church is cautioned to turn away. Pleasure in earthly things is elusive, never really completely satisfying. Advertising feeds into this, saying, we need to have more, always more. Get the new model, keep up with the Joneses. This mindset of always more. This leads to undue desires of these things. In contrast, we are to look at how these things can be used for the Lord's service, stewardship. We have a choice, serving God with his approval or serving self, following the Lord's pattern with its allurements. Be thou faithful unto death. Our treasure is in heaven. How special is this privilege? John chapter 17, verse 14 through 17. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil, from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here we get the thought of how we are separated from the world by the truth. That is the chief purpose of this gospel age, proving a little flock. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A life of consecration is a very unique thing. There will never be another time like the gospel call to Christ, the narrow way of sacrifice, a time to be tested and proved faithful by walking contrary to the world, so we can be trusted with the divine nature. What could ever make us think that this would be easy? That this way could somehow be customized and fit into our own lives, rather than our lives being shaped and fit into it? What does it take? For this, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, to consider what it takes to be the temple of the living God. While these texts apply to marriage, they also apply to being married to our Lord. All these items are part of being separate from the world. We will consider 6 points. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be ye not means let it never be so. Yoked means a committed relationship that requires effort. Unbelievers equals those without the one true faith. To put it together, do not be bound together with unbelievers. This brings up a difficult question. Where do my ties lay? John chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. We are to love our Lord. We are to be married to our Lord. Unbelievers are those without the true faith. We find the top reason to not be yoked with unbelievers in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You have a choice to be bound to unbelievers. Which do you choose? We can enjoy certain things in life relating to the world. For example, we may enjoy watching some sort of game or going out into nature. If doing either of these things becomes important in our lives, taking an important place in our lives, then we should eliminate it. Our goal is Christ and Christ alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, fellowship means partnership. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Is it righteous before God or not? The Jewish nation was taught to be separate from the other nation as God's chosen nation. When they ceased to be separate, they ceased to be God's chosen. This is the same with spiritual Israelites as well. We'll read of this in Ezra chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Are we following his commandment of be ye separate? Or are we being enticed by strange wives? Is our allegiance with our Lord? Again, Proverbs 4:23 from the ESV, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. To take a little word license here, from the chosen allegiances of our hearts will flow the truest destiny of our lives. We have a choice. Do we love righteousness and hate iniquity? What is the desire of our hearts? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, again. And what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walk as children of light. Two clear opposites here. From the context of the world, good, nice, righteousness, and honest are not clear. Send out thy light. Am I fellowshipping with darkness? We send time with the world and worldly friends, but it is not what our life is about. And what communion hath light with darkness? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Put away a deceitful mouth. What our heart wants, our heart will try to get. When our desires and allegiances are outside the realm of God's light, you know what we do? We rationalize. We explain away true spiritual righteousness and in fact co-opt in darkness. This is a hard lesson. The high calling is a very high calling. It is not just feeling good about something. Full-fledged, all-out dedication from the inside. Be ye separate. Where can harmony between Christ and Belial be found? The word harmony can also be thought of as a symphony. Belial is representative of men that are notoriously wicked, led by Satan. What harmony do we have with the world? Being in the world, but not of it. We follow a spiritual leader, not an earthly one. Our ruler is at odds with the world. Many are good people, but are not spiritual, not called. It's different. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, Weymouth. No, but that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. And I would not have you have fellowship with one another through the demons. You cannot drink the Lord's cup and the cup of demons. You cannot be joint partakers both in the table of the Lord and in the table of demons. With a sacrifice, it shows allegiance. We remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Make a choice. Follow God or idolatry. The world is steeped in idolatry. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Let your eyes look directly ahead. We are members of a symphony playing in harmony the plan of God. We know our part and play our part, focused on the conductor. What, when, and how? If we are not following him, we will be unharmonious. Truest heart loyalty demands our truest focus and attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 from the Weymouth. Or what participation has a believer with an unbeliever? What part do we have to play with an unbeliever? We are from another country with a different leader. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We work in the world to earn a living, but we live for the sake of Christ. The world has no role in our sanctified living space. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. We must watch how we are walking. Is it in paths of righteousness? How much focus are we giving to the world that is necessary for our sustenance versus how much focus are we giving to the world that is voluntary for our happiness and pleasure? We cannot be double-minded. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We are not to be in accord with idols of any kind. We are to dwell in the holy, the temple where we worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 from the Weymouth. Or do you not know that your bodies are a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit that is within you, the Spirit whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you have been redeemed at infinite cost. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. We are not our own, only to live in agreement with sanctification. Set aside the purpose of the temple. Set aside for this holy purpose. That is what we are bought for. Good people try to save the world. We can applaud their efforts, but if we are faithful, we will bring the world back to life. We are not going to save this world. They are beyond that. We must be about the Father's business. This is how we can truly lay down our lives for our brethren and the world. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This begins with a choice. Do not bind ourselves to those that are not followers of Christ. Turn your foot and walk away. Wherever possible, walk away. Remain separate. You are the monastery. Live within the world, but not of the world. God understands our attachments to the world. Do we understand the limitations of the attachments to the world in our lives? There is a massive disconnect between the believers and non-believers. Here is our conclusion. Be separate. Walk away from any ties to this world that are unclean. These can only deter us from the way we have covenanted to walk. To walk away does not mean to ignore the people in your life. It means to put the events of life into the proper perspective. The world is a series of events that we deal with. Our lives are in Christ. Be separate. The manna from September 15th, quote, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Those who conscientiously live separate from the world in spiritual matters and recognize as brethren only those who confess the circumcision of heart and adoption into God's family will find themselves opposed by moralists, liberalists, and hired critics, as well as by the masses who hate the light because it condemns their darkness, doctrinal and otherwise. Nevertheless, this is the only good and safe course to pursue. Better far it is that only true Israelites should be recognized as brethren, and thus the true wheat be separated from the tares. Unquote. We must not be in touch with the unclean things of this world. Separate, but sympathetic. January 28th, Songs in the Night. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Dearly beloved of the consecrated household, let us not forget to keep in touch with the groaning creation, to sympathize with its sorrows and its woes, to realize its deep degradation and misery, to remember its frailties, its awful burden of hereditary taints and consequent weaknesses, its present environments of ignorance and superstition, and its long-established error of public sentiment. Remembering that we are too, that we too are still in the sinful flesh, and that the motions of sin are still often painfully manifest in us. In some directions, at least, if not in many. And as the cries of the groaning creation come up into the ears of the Lord of hosts with strong and pathetic pleading to his loving heart, so let them come into our ears and gain our sympathies and quicken our zeal to cooperate with our Heavenly Father's plan for the establishment of his kingdom of righteousness and peace. Are we maintaining our separateness from the world? Or is the world creeping back into our lives? In addressing this last question, we do well to remember that friendship with the world is enmity with God. The pressure of the hour of temptation will be to blend in. Political correctness is a manifestation of this pressure. Anyone who stands against ungodliness is branded a bigot or a bad person. We should stand out in a quiet, forthright manner as we maintain our standard of righteousness. If we find ourselves blending in and getting along with everyone, it is likely that we have a very big problem. After all, we are a peculiar people. Do not adjust the standard. We must be eternally trustworthy. It is not easy. We are supposed to sacrifice. Sometimes the heart wants what it shouldn't have. The answer for that is, be ye separate. Show your love to God by being sanctified, that is, set aside or separated for a purpose. Well, I am ending just maybe a couple minutes early here, but we trust that this reminder may be a blessing to you. May the Lord add his blessing, and as always, forgive anything said amiss.